This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The Thanksgiving travel rush got off to a trouble-free start Wednesday morning with clear skies across most of the country and short lines at most airport security checkpoints, despite what officials anticipated to be the busiest Thanksgiving holiday season since the 2001 terror attacks. 36 million people nationwide were expected to travel 50 miles or more from their homes over the holiday weekend, the highest number of travelers in 2 years, according to the AAA Travel Group. The Pentagon's plan for replacing the 130,000 American troops in Iraq with a fresh contingent early next year will shrink the force by 20%, but it will place more of the combat burden on the National Guard and Reserve. If carried out as planned, the switch out will result in a more mobile force, perhaps better suited to the guerrilla-style war that is taking a sobering toll in U.S. deaths and injuries. The Army is calling on the National Guard and Reserve to contribute more next year, and not just in supporting roles. Three Guard infantry brigades will be there, of which at least two will see combat. Victims' relatives who pressed for an independent commission to investigate the September 11th attacks say the panel risks being undercut by the government's failure to cooperate with it. The Family Steering Committee, a group of victim advocates, marked the one-year anniversary of the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the United States by urging an extension of its May 27th deadline for submitting findings and recommendations. 12 people who lost spouses, children, siblings, and parents in the September 11th attacks formed the steering committee to monitor the work of the federal commission. The leaders of the 10-member commission, Republican Thomas Kane and Democrat Lee Hamilton, said last week that they still intend to complete work by May 27th, but they warned that further resistance from government agencies could threaten their ability to meet the deadline. More IE American Network news after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
A new turkey and gravy soda tastes, well, pretty much like you would imagine, but that's not stopping people from buying it. The liquid's ominous, murky brown color accurately warns consumers about the taste, a mix of sweet caramel and savory lard. The manufacturer of the so-called soda suggested a retail price of 99 cents, but a few entrepreneurs are selling theirs on eBay.com. By Tuesday, the bidding was up to $63 for a two-bottle set. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when we cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
If insanity could be packaged, Monsanto would surely own the patent. This biotech giant is insanely manipulating the genetics of our world's food supply without long-term testing of how these frankenfoods will affect human health or our environment. Monsanto maniacally pushes these products without even informing consumers that the very DNA of the foodstuffs they're eating has been artificially altered in its corporate laboratories, literally using us as its guinea pigs. And, like a foam-at-the-mouth mad dog, Monsanto attacks anyone who dares get in the way of its genetic profiteering. Oakhurst Dairy in Portland, Maine has seen Monsanto's madness in action. It's a small milk processor that tries to do business the old-fashioned way, giving consumers what they want, or, in this case, not giving consumers what they don't want, which is milk laced with Monsanto's artificial growth hormone, which has been linked to causing everything from premature puberty in children to health problems in cows injected with it. Overwhelmingly, consumers say they don't want this stuff in their milk, so Oakhurst Dairy started paying dairy farmers a premium for milk that's certified to be free of it. Oakhurst proudly labels its jugs with this promise: no artificial growth hormones. Enter the raw nuttiness of Monsanto, which has now sued Oakhurst, claiming that its label deceives consumers by making them think that the pure milk is healthier than milk with Monsanto's hormones. In fact, all Oakhurst is doing is letting customers know what's not in their product, so customers can make up their own minds which milk to buy. As Oakhurst president puts it, we're in the business of marketing milk, not Monsanto's drugs. Besides, he says, the world seems a little bit discombobulated when someone attempts to prohibit you from doing the right thing. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop Monsanto, call the Organic Consumers Association, 218-226-4164.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Thanksgiving Eve 2003. The program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number tonight is the same as it is every night. 800-825-5937. That's 800-TALK-YES. For those of you who are numerically challenged. And if you'd like to email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Thanksgiving is a strange holiday for me. I mean, I love the holiday season, no matter what happens, no matter where we go, no matter where Kathy and I go, whether we go to my folks or get together with her mom or hang out with kids, relatives, in-laws, cousins, uncles, aunts, it doesn't make any difference. To me, it's a great big hoot, because what I usually do is have a tumbler full of Jack Black. Now, y'all think I'm a drunk, probably at this point, which I'm not. I really am not. But I get a tumbler of Jack Black and kind of hang back and watch the activity. You know what I'm saying? Especially when if you have a large family. I have a relatively large family. I think it's a large family. And to watch the interactions, to watch folks. And it's just, to me, it's a hoot. It's an absolute hoot, especially if your family is mildly dysfunctional, as mine is. Parts of my family are worse than mildly dysfunctional. They are way around the bend. But, you know, you got to love them all anyway. But the holiday, the whole holiday, Thanksgiving, it's uniquely American, of course, and it makes absolutely no sense. I'm not sure what it celebrates, the slaughter of Indians, the gathering together of Puritans who are so stiff-necked. It's a wonder they got together for a celebration to begin with. How could they celebrate anything? So I would like to say, Kathy put this up on the screen for me. I don't know if I can say it all, but here it comes. Happy inbred, broad-breasted, white, genetically engineered, and hormone-injected turkey, angry relative, and deadly influenza-gathering, Native American, smallpox-killing, massacre, Puritan, religious zealot, Thanksgiving Eve, truth seekers. That pretty much gets it all into... I was reading something on the Internet. Who sent it to me? I don't know. Who sent... Did Peter Werby send this to me? It's something written by Mitch Cohen about Thanksgiving. Why I Hate Thanksgiving is the title of it. It's just absolutely hysterical in a very macabre, ironic, wry sort of way about Thanksgiving. The people who came up with this, at least the legend, I don't think there ever was a Thanksgiving. I think somebody in the, I don't know, in later centuries, 1800s, 1900s, decided that there should be a day of Thanksgiving. So they came up with this day, which is utterly ridiculous. It just makes no sense. All it is a shop, you know, it's a launching pad for what I hope you folks are going to do on Friday, which is no shopping. Don't do it. You know, don't succumb, please. Our house has been absolutely inundated with mailers and flyers from Rich's. That's the big department store here. Macy's. Who else, Kathy? Oh, my God, it just goes on. The shopping malls. They're advising women to wear flats so they can endure... there are door busters, you know, that's what this is all about. Oh, God, I used to hate it. As short a period of time as last year, I hated the advent of the holiday season. Now I kind of really like it because it is such a frenzy. And again, I like it because I stay removed from it. I kind of like float above it all in a hot air balloon. That's my analogy. And I watch this madness, and it's just like, oh, my God. But Thanksgiving is such a bizarre, isn't it? What a bizarre holiday. What did AAA say? 36 million Americans are either going to home or fleeing away from home over this weekend. It is the holiday where most people die in traveling, domestic travel. I guess because so many of us use cars for these Thanksgiving trips. So the death toll this weekend will probably be enormous on the nation's highways. The toll of people who will wind up on life support and crippled for the rest of their lives, that number will probably be astronomical. A good thing to do on Thursday is to stay home, I think. This is my opinion. Stay home, light a fire, kick back with your spouse or your significant other, and watch football and eat popcorn, you know. And you know, every once in a while, open the door to your backyard and tilt your head out and listen to the tires screaming and the head-on collisions over on the interstate someplace. Well, by the way, happy belated birthday to our singing Nashville bureau chief, Jane. We got an email. How do I know about her birthday? We got an email last night about 10 minutes before the program was over, and normally at that point my producer is not checking her email. And it said, would you please mention Jane's birthday tonight? Well, Jane, we didn't get it until tonight, so happy birthday. That's the woman who sings to everybody else. I guess I should sing to her, shouldn't I, Kathy? All right. stand away from your computer monitors or your speakers, please. Happy birthday to you. It's hard to sing when you still have stitches in your mouth. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jane, our Nashville bureau chief. Happy birthday to you and many more. Oh, my God. Have you read about how Thanksgiving turkeys are bred? Big New York Times piece earlier this week. It is pretty gruesome. It is really gruesome. Unless you get one of the so-called free-range or heritage. They call them heritage turkeys now. Because apparently all the turkeys are these fake turkeys. They're not really turkeys. They're white and they're about 80% breast Oh, reading the article, it just gives you the shivers. We're going to have grilled pimento cheese sandwiches. And unless you live in the South, you probably don't know what the hell I'm talking about, pimento cheese. All right. Well, yes, Kathy.
Well, just my favorite part of that New York Times story was how they breed this breed for such a large white breast that they cannot stand up or reproduce.
Yeah, well.
This is wonderful.
Well, they're only
they have to be artificially inseminated, and they only live 27 weeks.
Yeah, well, you know, well, that's right. They don't live long enough to reproduce or to stand up, for that matter. But the heritage turkeys, these different breeds that some independent farmers, real turkey farmers, are trying to maintain is the way to go if you're into eating bird, and a lot of people are. I got an email, a rather lengthy email from our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief, Marianne, who is also a physicist. I wonder if I've often wondered. I met Marianne a couple of times up in Chicago at a bar we used to frequent. Well, I don't mean that the way it sounded. It was in a group, all of, you know. We would have get-togethers there, and I had a huge going-away party from Chicago. Marianne was there. But I often wondered, since she is a nuclear physicist and has worked around the stuff, you know, the radioactive stuff, I just wonder if her boy, I don't think Marianne's married, if her boyfriend ever said, rolled over in the middle of the night and said, honey, you know you glow in the dark. I don't know where that thought came from. But she sent me a rather lengthy email here. I just want to share it with you. She says, okay, it's been like a bad episode of Star Trek. Locked in the negative universe where Spock has a beard and the Enterprise is a pirate ship. And the American majority prefer a sock puppet dictatorship to a robust republic. Now, what Marianne is referring to is, I don't know, I guess I went off on one of my rants last night. She says, she writes, but this ideal republic whose demise we're lamenting was always just that, an ideal, a good idea, an inspiration. The reality has always been greed and nastiness and injustice and poverty and occasional real heroes and occasional victories and a few fair-weather streaks where the predators and hyenas left us alone for a while, their attention deflected elsewhere, wreaking havoc in third-world countries, for instance, under the banner of anti-communism or democracy. 30 years ago, Marianne writes, the Rust Belt cities were on the verge of breakdown, barely traversable for the potholes, barely livable for the smog, where rivers caught fire and the assembly lines were laying off thousands. How many people raised the truth of Vietnam, the CIA, the FBI, etc., or even cared? There may have been a few good reporters, but very few questioned our basic goodness and rightness in what we did in the world. The extreme left-wing candidate, George McGovern, back then, was adamantly anti-choice. Professional single women had to get their fathers to co-sign on mortgages or credit cards. Things have changed, and they never stay the same. I happen to think that the Bush crowd is, or we haven't been in this part of political phase space, and it's disturbing to the few of us who really think about these things. But that is always the case in a political experiment such as our republic. We're always getting pushed to some extreme political corner or another because our system allows it. The extreme effects finally wakes up a sufficient number of folks, though not before lots of people suffer. I believe that the ultimate center of gravity is an open and just society in this experiment, though I may not live to see it. If it is not, then nothing you, nor I, nor anyone can do or say will change destiny. But that's the hard part, Marianne writes, being a responsible citizen, challenging the anti-democratic forces that are always there. When I was in high school in the late 70s, I often thought how bizarre it was that things were becoming so benign. Feminism, abortion rights, open access to information, environmentalism prevailing. And I wondered if this really was the direction of destiny or just an anomalous lull in the otherwise brutal and tragic history of our species. The 1980 election of Reagan put my doubts to rest there, and I discovered that people went along with bad things not out of malice or hatred or desire, but because not going along with the pack is just so damn hard. And those of us raised with TV and antibiotics and indoor plumbing and cars have a hard time dealing with hard struggle like great-grandma dealt with. We grew up thinking that we'd be cruising in space cars by now, and instead we're thinking that history is far from over. Wishful thinking and denial feels so much nicer. One more paragraph of this, and I'll share it with you when we come back.
And in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen, and like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Show.
Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man, huh?
Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, so this lengthy email that our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief, Marianne, sent to me is just one paragraph left here. She's just talking about how weird it has been and how much weirder it's going to get. So Marianne finishes up this way. So yes, it's going to get ugly. But our despair may be that Al Gore's internet is making the truth for the minority that cares easier to get to, that we are finding things out in real time rather than from some book or review article, and it makes our frustration that much more acute. We'll have to pull together for the next election, which is our next big chance, and may have to pull for someone who isn't our ideal. But an earlier caller tonight, she wrote this last night, was right. If there exists even a 10% desire in the individual candidate to do some good for people, it is infinitely better than 0%. And we'd better get it together to let the best not be the enemy of the better, or even the not as bad. As always, Marianne. Well, thank you, Marianne. That was well done. Well done indeed. Well done indeed. Eric is checking here from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Fine. I am. I used to listen to you in the WLS.
Oh, back in the day, huh?
That was wonder. That was a wonderful show. I wondered if you still do like Bug House Square or
no. There's you know, Kathy and I have talked about this several times. We would love to reinstitute some of the features that we used to do at WLS, but there was a difference then. It was even though we addressed national issues, we were working for essentially a local radio station, local to Chicago. And while Chicagoans knew what Bughouse Square was, it didn't take too long to educate the listeners that we had in that vast audience what Bughouse Square was. But we used to do things like have the kids from the Chicago Youth Symphony come into the studio and play live classical music. What else did we used to do, Kathy? What did we do?
We had poetry slams.
Oh, that's right. We had poetry. We had
a kick-ass Christmas show every year.
Every year we had a Christmas show on the radio. And one of our guests, 2 years running, we had a great time with him. He was working at a local Chicago television station. It was Lester Holt, who's now at MSNBC. The first time we had Lester on as a guest, he just came up there and was sort of bug-eyed, just kind of sitting there going, what the hell is this? You know? But because we had a doo-wop group on. Remember that group, Kathy, from Northern?
Stormy Weather.
Stormy Weather, a doo-wop group from Northern Indiana. We used to do a lot of fun things. Now, we had, you know, we had production facilities, we had a studio, and my God, we were working for ABC, which made it a little easier on one hand to do things like that. Since I have been with IE America Radio Network, which is 3 years, it's been a two-person operation in very Spartan settings with zero budget, zero technical assistance, except what comes from the crew of engineers in Detroit who do yeoman's work to keep this program on the air from an engineering standpoint. But it's just an entirely different thing. I do miss the fun that we had up there, even though we were working for a couple of psychopaths, But I do miss those days. I'm glad you used to tune in then, Eric.
I enjoyed it immensely. In fact, it took me this long to find you again on the internet and to have enough horsepower in my computer that I could listen. And I still can't listen live unless I call in because I don't have satellite radio. I actually still now I own a copy of Shepherd's Moon, so I can listen to that when I.
Oh my God, the CD by Enya.
Yeah,
I used to play the hell out of that, didn't I?
You'd start your second hour with that one cut off of there. Book of Days.
Yeah, let me put you on hold a second. We got a break here, Eric. We'll come back and finish this up. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Molloy.
Looking for a supper, wondering what's become of me. I got a 008 Dean Martin guitar.
And high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Ocean water is likely to become more acidic if we keep up our heavy use of fossil fuels. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Ocean water absorbs a lot of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and some people hope it will absorb some of the CO2 we generate by burning fossil fuels. But new research suggests too much carbon dioxide could make ocean water more acidic, and the effects on marine life are uncertain. Ken Caldera is a chemical oceanographer for the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. He says the process of CO2 dissolving into the water is completely natural, and the gas and water combine to form carbonic acid. Caldera says when we add more CO2 to the atmosphere, that leads to more carbonic acid in the oceans.
And so large amounts of CO2 are accumulating in the ocean, and it will take many thousands of years for that to be buffered.
Fossil fuels have been the backbone of industrialized society for two centuries. Caldera says if their heavy use continues for centuries into the future, the impacts could be dramatic. He says the oceans will become more acidic than they've been for millions of years. He says the biological impacts of that acidity need more research. For example, it might make it hard for clams and corals to get minerals they need to build their shells.
It's been generally viewed that the uptake of carbon dioxide by the ocean was a good thing, because it took CO2 out of the atmosphere and thereby reduced or slowed the rate of climate change. But if the uptake of CO2 itself has adverse chemical effects on marine biota, then it's at best a mixed blessing.
Caldera's research was published in a recent issue of the journal Nature. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Well, we just had to do that. Absolutely had to do it. That's the song you're talking about, right, Eric?
Yeah, it's Nice Touch.
Yeah, right. Kathy has a music library here that goes on for days.
Well, I actually called because I've written a song and I wanted to sing it for you.
Well, you certainly may do that. Just let her rip.
Okay.
Do you need any music?
Our fine president is taking a beating in the polls for dumping vast sums of money down deep, dark, empty holes. And it's our job as Republican rank and file to show our support will never die by adopting a new party symbol to show just how much we love this guy. We really love this guy. From the moment you wake and leave the house in the morning, the terrorists or Democrats can strike without warning, so till you're back safe in bed, wear a bucket on your head. That's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology, the raids on Iraq and the rape of the ecology while the treasury's being bled, put a bucket on your head. You won't need any eye holes. They'll just tell us what we see. We're being led by some wise souls determined to put the mock into democracy. Diddly 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 diddly. So when facing the tide of negative news, of liberal lies and left-leaning views that our enemies would spread, keep that bucket on your head. The president himself said it best, and I think it bears repeating. A leader who leads those he leads has to lead where he's leading. So until this war ends, ash, it never will. It's our patriotic duty just to shush and sit still and believe everything they've said. Or we could all wind up dead. Better to be safe instead. With a bucket on your head. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Woo, yeah.
Well, that is really good, Eric. I would love to hear that with, let's see, I'd like to hear it with a couple of guitars and a bass and a little snare drum, little drum.
It might sound a little muddy coming over to cell phone with a production like that.
So when are you going to record this with a musical accompaniment?
Next chance I get.
That's a good song. That's really a good song, Eric. That's really a good song. Get it recorded. Get it on CD. By God, we'll play it.
I appreciate that. I have to tell you, though, it really wrote itself.
Not to diminish your talent, but I can understand what you mean by that. Yeah, it does kind of, things like that do kind of write themselves, don't they?
And I just want to say that I'm really thankful for you and Kathy and the work you're doing and your audience.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate the audience. It's been just astonishing for us in the time that we've been here at IE America to connect via the internet, via a few radio stations, via email with the people who have supported this program. We've really had a chance to talk with over the air some people whose ideas and beliefs we really respect, and it's been a good experience. Good experience.
Well, thanks for taking my call and letting me.
Oh, Eric. Eric disappeared. Eric, you cut yourself off or something. I would love to hear that song with musical accompaniment. So if you do put it together, Eric, with music, let us know. I want to give you two web addresses. Remember I said this last night and then we ran out of time. So hopefully you have writing materials. One is, I mentioned it the other day, the Beat Museum. This is the Beatniks. If you are into beat poetry or literature, and you should be, I don't care how old you are, if you're in your 80s or you're a teenager, if you have never, well, if you're in your 80s, you probably understand beat poetry and beat literature, but if you haven't exposed yourself to Ginsberg and Ferlinghetti and Corso and McClure and Kerouac and, oh, my God, just, you know, all these people, you need to do it. There are two poems, one by Ferlinghetti, I think it was Ferlinghetti, Christ Climbed Down, and then, of course, the seminal poem that defined a generation was Allen Ginsberg's Howl, H-O-W-L, Howl. I'm going to download that and read it some night in here. Probably the last night we're on the air, Kathy. I will read Howl. But I want you to check out the Beat Museum, their website. They're in Monterey, California. And I got an email from the guy who runs the place, JC. But they have a website, Kerouac.com. Kerouac, as in Jack, Kerouac.com. Check it out. Now, the other place I want you to check, because I went there, got an email from a young woman named Chandra, but she signs Chan. She has a website. She's an artist, a graphic designer. She does some stuff, and I went to her website and looked at some of her stuff, and I was just like, whoa, this is pretty good. So I want you to check this one out, too. It's Divine Comedy, as in... Dante. Another brain fart, right, Kathy? They're just coming with alarming regularity, aren't they? Divinecomedy.go.cc. All right? That's Chandra's website, divinecomedy.go.cc. Check it out. Take a look at her artwork. And please go to the Beat Museum. If you're in Monterey, California, next time you're out there, it's on West Franklin Street. Check it out. But until you get there, go to the website, Kerouac.com. Okay, so there's two funky websites that I think you're going to like. DivineComedy.go.cc and Kerouac.com. I had fun cruising around those two sites, so check it out. Okay, we're coming right back to your calls, but just a couple of things here. Very quickly, Der Arnold, Der Gruppenführer, as Gary Trudeau is referring to Schwarzenegger, Der Gruppenführer, governor of California, he's got a massive debt that was stuffed down the throats of Californians by Bush and Enron and Ken Lay and Jeffrey Skilling and some bad decisions made by Gray Davis, too. I can't let him off the hook completely. But as far as I'm concerned, 80-90% of it Gray Davis inherited from Pete Wilson. And was it Pete Wilson? I guess it was. And had it stuck in and broken off by Republicans not living in California. But anyway, there's massive debt facing Californians. So Arnold Schwarzenegger has come up, Der Gruppenführer, has come up with an idea to shave about $4 billion off this debt, and he's going to do it by cutting social programs over the next 19 months. Of course, the social programs will affect funding for therapy for the handicap. Sure, why not? Money for pensioners, people living on fixed incomes who get their money through state pension plans. Sure, why not? The plans to ease traffic in California in the toilet, university training programs for public health workers and non-essential occupations such as that will be cut. This is what they always do, isn't it? Huh? This is what they always do. So Das Gruppenführer has decided that, yeah, once again, following in the footsteps of Republicans, throughout the historical record, certainly the historical record in the past 40 years, make the cuts on the backs of those people least able to deal with the cuts and those people least able to organize resistance to the cuts, or those people that have the least political clout. It's real heartbreaker to see that happen again and again and again and again. Whether it's for addiction programs or public health programs, mental health programs, after school care, preschool care, state sponsored lunch programs or feeding programs for elderly people, or you know, it's always those are the people who always get it in the neck. You never do you? You never hear of programs for the wealthy being cut, right? Never. Never, because this is America. This is how we do business in this country. What a shame. Now, it is Thanksgiving tomorrow, and like I said, to me, it's a ridiculous holiday. It just makes no sense. I'm glad to have the time off. We will not be here tomorrow or Friday. I think what I'm going to do is take the truck and drive to the nearest mega mall, and God, we have them here in North Georgia, around Atlanta, and I'm going to sit out on the fringe of the mall and watch the damn thing fill up and have some Grateful Dead music and something to alter my consciousness and just kick back and watch. You know, just watch. Now that's Friday. I mean, tomorrow we're going to get together with some friends and family and have a good old time. But on Friday, that's what we're going to do. But here in Atlanta, and I'm sure this is true in most major metropolitan areas, there has been, for the past 20-some years, a Feed the Hungry program on Thanksgiving. It started out on Thanksgiving. Now it's on Christmas and Martin Luther King's birthday. This program was put together years and years ago, well, not that long ago. What, Kathy, 20 years? Maybe 20, 25 years? By Reverend Hosea Williams, who was a civil rights activist, a real ass-kicker. I loved Hosea. Hosea finally died of black people's illness, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, rage about what white people had dumped on him. But Hosea was a successful businessman. He ran a chemical company, of all things. He and I had a falling out in the 80s because he supported Reagan. But I finally realized why he supported Reagan. He was just, you know, going in the direction of the wind. But here in Atlanta, he put together, being the old civil rights warhorse that he was. He used to travel with Martin Luther King and John Lewis and Bayard Rustin and the heavyweights. Hosea was right up there with him. He was the ass kicker. Andy Young was part of that group. Hosea would go with Andy Young into a town that would be targeted because of their public accommodations laws that said to Negroes, get out of here, you're not even human. Andy Young would talk the gentle talk. Hosea would come in and let folks know that if you didn't go along with the gentle deal, Hosea would come in with, 10,000 people and your city would cease to exist. And the combination of the two, the good cop and the bad cop, it worked. Well, Hosea was a very interesting man, very fiery on the one hand, very gentle on the other. 20-some years ago, he put together this Feed the Hungry thing for Thanksgiving, and it ballooned. And it's supposed to be Feed the Homeless. And allegedly, that's what it is. It's for homeless people. The people that show up over the years have been about 90-95% male. And of those folks, maybe 80% of them males of African descent, Americans of African descent. Over the years, it's broadened out. More and more white people every year show up to be fed, and more families with children show up to be fed. Now, it's a day when white, for the most part, and some black middle-class people, they provide the labor, the cooking, the serving, making sure that people have enough to eat. It's expanded to the point now where you can get a shower. They set up portable showers. They have portable toilets. They have stacks of used clothing and shoes. You can get a haircut. So you can get your hair done if you're a woman. So it's expanded. It's one day where homeless people or people of with zero income have a chance to pretend that they're part of the American the American dream. And it is all pretend. But at the end of the day, the helpers, the workers have done a good thing, and the people who received this have received a good thing. At least that's the hope. I hope. Now, there have been years when my son Chris was a little boy, he and I would participate. We would take the meals for people who couldn't come to the feeding. We would take it to the shut-ins, to the high-rise ghettos here in Atlanta, to the public housing. We would take stacks and stacks and stacks of these meals in styrofoam packages, Chris and I, when he was 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 years old. He's a young man now. He's 24 and lives over in South Carolina and is going to be a firefighter. But so I participated in this. Now, over the years, I've watched it grow. This year, the estimates are 23,000 people will be served. 23,000. This is Atlanta, Georgia, 2003. And we have that many people who are essentially homeless, without jobs, without income. Are there any freeloaders in the 23,000 people who just say, hey, man, let's go get a free turkey dinner? Probably. Probably. But I think the karmic debt that would be incurred in doing something like that is apparent and evident to people who might try to sneak in as a recipient rather than someone helping or being a server. 23,000 people will show up at Turner Field tomorrow, starting at, what time does it start, Kathy? 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning, and it goes until 4 in the afternoon, or until everybody is fed. 23,000 people who will be looking for a Thanksgiving Day meal.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
I'm thrilled to be here in the breadbasket of America because it gives me a chance to remind our fellow citizens that we have an advantage here in America. We can feed ourselves.
Well, most of us can, George, but I know that it would be difficult for you. I would love to get Governor Bush, the Texas governor. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much this man irritates me? I'd love to have George come down here and serve turkey and dressing and cream corn and biscuits and stewed tomatoes and okra on these feeding lines that we have here in Atlanta, Christmas, New Year, or not New Year's, but Christmas and Thanksgiving and MLK, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Just let George come down here. He can bring his whole damn team of SWAT thugs and armed guards. You know, this is most loathed president, I think, ever to trod the earth. But just let him come down here and stand there with a huge ladle and an apron on and serve up some of these 23,000 people who, if you discount the cheaters, and there are cheaters in there, but the 23,000 people who cannot afford to have a traditional turkey dinner. Now, that may be, not being able to afford a traditional turkey dinner may be a good thing were it not for the fact that it's representative of not being able to afford any dinner. You understand what I'm saying? Not that it's the turkey and the cranberry paste that they put out there, but in the grocery stores. I don't mean at the feeding lines. But, maybe the whole idea is bogus as hell. But we all agree that it's an idea and it's a holiday. So before I turn myself into a pretzel here trying to be politically correct or incorrect, I still would like to see George Bush come down and serve some of the 23,000 people who are going to be standing online waiting tomorrow for a meal here in Atlanta. Roy is calling from Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Hey, Roy.
Hey, Mike. This whole holiday stuff's getting old. It seems like about the only time I get to call you.
well, glad you find some time to call.
Well, that's right. And, I got a lot to be thankful for. I got a great, great wife and a great kid.
That's good.
I have IE America.
Yeah! That's good.
I have
that's
internet
good too.
Access that lets me get to The Guardian.
There you go.
And The Independent.
So you're actually
MoveOn.com.
So you're grateful that Al Gore invented the internet.
That's right.
Hey, let me put you on hold a second, Roy. I'll come back. There's the music. We got to take a break here, and we'll come back and get the rest of the list. And your phone calls. We have two open lines here, 800-825-5937. If you want to get it set on the Malloy program this week, you got to call in tonight.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush.
Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The Thanksgiving travel rush got off to a trouble-free start Wednesday morning with clear skies across most of the country and short lines at most airport security checkpoints, despite what officials anticipated to be the busiest Thanksgiving holiday season since the 2001 terror attacks. 36 million people nationwide were expected to travel 50 miles or more from their homes over the holiday weekend, the highest number of travelers in 2 years, according to the AAA Travel Group. Victims' relatives who pressed for an independent commission to investigate the September 11th attacks say the panel risks being undercut by the government's failure to cooperate with it. The Family Steering Committee, a group of victim advocates, marked the one-year anniversary of the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the United States by urging an extension of its May 27th deadline for submitting findings and recommendations. 12 people who lost spouses, children, siblings, and parents in the September 11th attacks formed the steering committee to monitor the work of the federal commission. The leaders of the 10-member commission, Republican Thomas Kane and Democrat Lee Hamilton, said last week that they still intend to complete work by May 27th, but they warned that further resistance from government agencies could threaten their ability to meet the deadline. The Pentagon's plan for replacing the 130,000 American troops in Iraq with a fresh contingent early next year will shrink the force by 20%, but it will place more of the combat burden on the National Guard and Reserve. If carried out as planned, the switch-out will result in a more mobile force, perhaps better suited to the guerrilla-style war that is taking a sobering toll in U.S. deaths and injuries. The Army is calling on the National Guard and Reserve to contribute more next year, and not just in supporting roles. Three Guard infantry brigades will be there, of which at least two will see combat. More IE American Network news after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
A state law mandating that people take a bath once a year is just one of the many unusual statutes that are or have been on the books in Kentucky. Other unusual laws from across the state include a year in prison for throwing eggs at a public speaker and a law against coloring baby chicks, ducklings, or rabbits. Then there's the dog tax. The statute required a small amount for each dog to be collected. The sheriff is to collect the tax or shoot the dog, according to the minutes. For IE America Radio, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
If Insanity could be packaged, Monsanto would surely own the patent. This biotech giant is insanely manipulating the genetics of our world's food supply without long-term testing of how these frankenfoods will affect human health or our environment. Monsanto maniacally pushes these products without even informing consumers that the very DNA of the foodstuffs they're eating has been artificially altered in its corporate laboratories, literally using us as its guinea pigs. And, like a foam-at-the-mouth mad dog, Monsanto attacks anyone who dares get in the way of its genetic profiteering. Oakhurst Dairy in Portland, Maine has seen Monsanto's madness in action. It's a small milk processor that tries to do business the old-fashioned way, giving consumers what they want. Or, in this case, not giving consumers what they don't want, which is milk laced with Monsanto's artificial growth hormone, which has been linked to causing everything from premature puberty in children to health problems in cows injected with it. Overwhelmingly, consumers say they don't want this stuff in their milk, so Oakhurst Dairy started paying dairy farmers a premium for milk that's certified to be free of it. Oakhurst proudly labels its jugs with this promise: no artificial growth hormones. Enter the raw nuttiness of Monsanto, which has now sued Oakhurst, claiming that its label deceives consumers by making them think that the pure milk is healthier than milk with Monsanto's hormones. In fact, all Oakhurst is doing is letting customers know what's not in their product, so customers can make up their own minds which milk to buy. As Oakhurst's president puts it, we're in the business of marketing milk, not Monsanto's drugs. Besides, he says, the world seems a little bit discombobulated when someone attempts to prohibit you from doing the right thing. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop Monsanto, call the Organic Consumers Association, 218-26-4164.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Happy inbred, broad-breasted, white, genetically engineered, and hormone-injected turkey, angry relative, and deadly influenza-gathering, Native American, smallpox-killing, massacre, Puritan, religious zealot, Thanksgiving Eve. Truth seekers. Back to Roy, who has called in from Rio Rancho. Thanks for holding on, Roy.
Oh, you bet. I was really disappointed. I guess one of the things that I have to not be thankful for this year, I'm really disappointed with Max as far as taking the bribe.
Max?
Quaylen?
Oh, to leave his position?
To leave the 911 because, you know, if the White House doesn't want those documents out,
mm-hmm.
What are they covering up?
Their complicity in the killing of 3,000 people in this country.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's kind of what I thought, and I really thought that Max would have enough, I appreciate the fact that he got three limbs blown off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really disappointed to find out he got something else blown off. One part of me wants to be optimistic. One part of me wants to say this country can get through these sons of bitches.
Yeah.
But the other side says they are so demonic.
Mm-hmm. So determined and so organized.
And all I can think of is I've got to work. I've got a grandson. You know, I'm your age. Well, actually, I think I'm a couple, 3 years younger than you are. I got a 2-year-old grandson.
Yeah.
I don't want him growing. I want him to grow up in a country that's free. I don't want, you know, I know my name's in the file because I was down here at the protest. Now, that's a hell of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't protest back in the 60s. I was too busy trying to make a living, trying to figure out what the hell I was going to do.
Right.
You know, and even though I was a draft dodger, I joined the reserves, but damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I served my reserve time. I was overseas when my kid was born.
Right.
And we get these thugs, and I just get so frustrated. But then on the other hand, to the good side, there's lots of good people out there. And there's folks like Soros that's throwing a lot of money at it. Dean is raising, you know, it's amazing what 5 and 10 and 50 and 100 bucks can do.
Well, a lot of people who have worked for real campaign finance reform over the years have tried to make that point, the point that Howard Dean is making, that if people are given the opportunity to support good candidates, people will respond. I think what Dean has done, aside from everything else, is to show us Americans how we can effectively use the Internet. One of the ways we can use the Internet to raise money for political candidates.
It has dawned on me how out of the mainstream that I am when I see the polls where I see Lieberman even ranking on the polls, let alone being above the Kucinich or Dean, or, you know, they ran some poll somewhere where Lieberman is a viable candidate somewhere. Now, I'm out of contact.
I definitely know that feeling. Yeah.
And it's like, wait a second. But by the same token, I keep thinking if we just keep throwing facts out there, you know, get rich back in the early 90s just threw hand grenades to just screw up everything.
Yeah.
He had no facts to go up with it. When you start lobbing facts at these fascist right wing yada yada, I'm not gonna talk about the bucket on my head.
Right.
And I did love it. Boy, I mean, every time I thought he's gonna flip up.
No, that's a great song. I want to hear that song with some instrumentation.
Some good studio stuff. But it, this whole thing has been so distorted, and this lovely liberal media that would cave in and not even run a fantasy fiction story about the fantasy fiction president.
I know, it's pretty pretty bad.
And so anyway, to end this whole thing, I hope you got a full board.
Oh yeah.
But I want to say I'm so thankful that I found IE. I am so glad that you and Hartman, I love Hartman. He's such a nice counterbalance to you.
Yes. Yes, he is.
He is the salt to your pepper.
There you go.
And, you know, Randy Rhodes and Amy Goodman and The Guardian and MoveOn.org and BuzzFlash and BartComp and everything else. And I'll tell you what, everybody's listening to you tonight had better be thankful that we've got these outlets.
Yeah, I know. I sure am.
Because otherwise we'd be floating around out there like a blind man on a leaf going down the road.
There you go.
Have a great one. You guys have a ball.
Thanks, Roy. You too.
Take care.
You too. You take care and drive safe, and happy Thanksgiving. Just before the Senate adjourned for Thanksgiving, which was yesterday, three Republican senators. This is how bad it's gotten, okay? Marianne was talking about in that email I read that she sent me. Roy was just talking about it. A lot of you are talking about it. This is how bad it's gotten. Just before the Senate adjourned for Thanksgiving. 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 Three Republican senators introduced what would be the first constitutional amendment in the nation's history that would codify and require, by law, discrimination against a targeted group of people, a law, a constitutional amendment that will restrict the civil rights of this targeted group of people. It's called the Federal Marriage Amendment. It would prevent any state from extending equal marriage rights to same-sex couples and would possibly invalidate laws already on the books concerning domestic partner relationships and civil unions that provide some legal protection to same-sex couples and their children and their families. Three Republican senators introduced what would be the first constitutional amendment in this nation's history that would require discrimination against a targeted group of people. I never thought I'd live. Honestly didn't. I'm not trying to be melodramatic here. I didn't think I would live to see a time when the fascists in this country would be able to do this, introduce a constitutional amendment, and to do it proudly and with the backing of these filthy, degenerate organizations that prostitute and corrupt the name of Christ. These Christian organizations, so-called. God, I hate them. Ralph Neese, who's the president of People for the American Way, commenting on this, said, quote, "The Constitution is the guardian of our civil rights. Writing discrimination into the Constitution would be a betrayal of our ideals and of the hard-fought progress we have made toward equality for all Americans." Yeah, it would, Ralph. But these religious monsters, and they're not Hindus, they're not Jews, they're not Buddhists. They claim to be Christians. These religious pigs, these bigots that would do this, that would use the Constitution to require discrimination against people because of who they are. It's astonishing. It's unbelievable. I don't care what your view is about homosexuals or same-sex marriage or unions. Get over it and think of what these three Republican senators are suggesting. That there is a constitutional amendment that doesn't free people, one that restricts and denies people rights that the founders of this country put together as an experiment. If this were to pass, which it will not, I don't think, then this country's over. The experiment failed. A couple of months ago, ABC News took a poll and found that only 20% of Americans support amending the Constitution to prohibit same-sex marriage, which I guess means 80%. Either are in favor of not amending the Constitution or don't care. The Ralph Neese, again, president of People for the American Way, said this is a divisive, diversionary tactic. There are many urgent issues facing American families as they gather for Thanksgiving this year, but enshrining discrimination in the Constitution is not one of them. Targeting some Americans for second-class citizenship in the Constitution is not a precedent we should even consider setting. How can they do this? How can these religious worms, these defilers of religion, how can they do this? I claim to be followers of Christ. The amendment is part of a campaign that was launched by religious right groups opposed to equality for gay Americans after the U.S. Supreme Court's Lawrence versus Texas decision. Remember that? A couple of months ago? The Christian religious right has intensified its efforts since the Massachusetts Supreme Court's ruling that the state constitution in Massachusetts prohibits the state from denying the rights and responsibilities of civil marriage to same-sex couples. Now, the same amendment to enshrine discrimination in our Constitution was introduced by Republicans in the House of Representatives earlier this year also. Doesn't that just turn your stomach?
Let the weapons flow. Destabilize the Middle East. Enrich the CEO. Lie down, people. Lay down your Bill of Rights. Tell James Madison we had to let those amendments go.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a twinkle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by recruiting will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
Well, the FBI has issued a denial after the article appeared in last Sunday's New York Times that the FBI was building dossiers on people who were exercising their constitutional rights of protest. Those First Amendment rights to petition the government for redress of grievances. What does it say here? The right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Peacefully to assemble. The peaceful assemblers were being, once again, I mean, how often does this have to happen? I remember the church committee, Frank Church, back in, what was it, Kathy, 74, 5, 6, somewhere around in there. It was revealed in the Senate hearings how deeply into the private lives, and this is before the internet. this is before national credit bureaus. How deeply into the private lives of people who protested the war in Vietnam, who were in support of civil rights or human rights, who were even working for gay rights back then. A very small contingent of people, but it was happening. A National Student Association had been infiltrated by these thugs. It just went on and on and on. And the illegal phone tapping, and you have to keep in mind, this is 25 years ago. More than that, almost 30 years ago. So here they are again. Last Sunday, New York Times said the FBI has collected extensive information on the tactics, training, and organization of anti-war demonstrators and has advised local law enforcement officials to report activity to its counterterrorism squads. That's according to interviews in a confidential FBI memorandum. And it went on and on. We talked about it a bit last week, but that was in last Sunday's New York Times. In today's New York Times, senior FBI officials took the unusual step yesterday of publicly declaring that agents are not using the war against terrorism as a cover to collect information on people who demonstrate against the government. Now, as soon as that statement makes it into the public, as it did yesterday, well, today it got publicized to the New York Times, then you know that it is absolutely true. Every single scrap of information that was in the New York Times article last Sunday is cast in concrete. It is so true. Because once the FBI comes out and says, nah, you know, remember, this is Ashcroft's FBI. This is that religious pigs FBI, that neo-fascist John Ashcroft's FBI. So as soon as they come out and say, no. John Pistoli, assistant FBI director for counterterrorism, told the Associated Press in an interview that recent allegations about such an intelligence effort are, quote, flat out wrong. Yeah, right. Some members of Congress, that would be all Democrats, probably. Oh, there might be a few Republicans who don't like the idea of all of our civil liberties being destroyed by this collection of monsters that now run this government. Some members of Congress are calling for hearings into the FBI bulletin that the FBI says didn't exist. It was sent to more than 17,000 state and local police agencies on October 15th. It warned about the anti-war protests being planned for later that month in Washington, San Francisco, and urged authorities to report behavior to the FBI or anything they had on the organizers, the demonstrators, whomever. John Edwards, the guy's running for president, he's also a senator from North Carolina, Democrat. He said, this report suggests that federal law enforcement may now be targeting individuals based on activities that are peaceful, lawful, and protected under our Constitution. Well, Senator Edwards, that's exactly what's going on. There's no may. There's no qualifiers. May now be targeting individuals? No qualifiers. So, you know, here we are. That's interesting news here on Thanksgiving Eve in the home of the free and the land of the brave.
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Ocean water is likely to become more acidic if we keep up our heavy use of fossil fuels. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Ocean water absorbs a lot of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and some people hope it will absorb some of the CO2 we generate by burning fossil fuels. But new research suggests too much carbon dioxide could make ocean water more acidic, and the effects on marine life are uncertain. Ken Caldera is a chemical oceanographer for the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. He says the process of CO2 dissolving into the water is completely natural, and the gas and water combine to form carbonic acid. Caldera says when we add more CO2 to the atmosphere, that leads to more carbonic acid in the oceans.
And so large amounts of CO2 are accumulating in the ocean, and it will take many thousands of years for that to be buffered.
Fossil fuels have been the backbone of industrialized society for two centuries. Caldera says if their heavy use continues for centuries into the future, the impacts could be dramatic. He says the oceans will become more acidic than they've been for millions of years. He says the biological impacts of that acidity need more research. For example, it might make it hard for clams and corals to get minerals they need to build their shells.
It's been generally viewed that the uptake of carbon dioxide by the ocean was a good thing, because it took CO2 out of the atmosphere and thereby reduced the Earth load and the rate of climate change. But if the uptake of CO2 itself has adverse chemical effects on marine biota, then it's at best a mixed blessing.
Caldera's research was published in a recent issue of the journal Nature. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, Thanksgiving Eve. Thanks for joining us. We're coming to your phone calls here in a quick jiffy. I just want to share something with you. It's making its way around the net, the internet, and it wound up in the Reno, Nevada Gazette Journal. Things you have to believe to be a Republican today. You all have seen this, haven't you? But it's funny. These are things you have to believe to be a Republican today. Here we go. Being a drug addict is a moral failing and a crime. Unless you're a conservative radio host, then it's an illness and you need our prayers for your recovery. The United States should get out of the United Nations, and our highest national priority is enforcing UN resolutions against Iraq. You have to, in order to be a Republican, you have to believe that government should relax regulations of big business and big money, but crack down on individuals who use marijuana to relieve the pain of illness. You have to believe that standing tall for America means firing your workers and moving their jobs to India. If you want to be a good Republican today, you have to believe a woman can't be trusted with decisions about her own body, but multinational corporations can make decisions affecting all mankind without any regulations at all. In order to be a good Republican today, you have to believe that Jesus loves you and he shares your hatred of homosexuals and Hillary Clinton. You have to believe the best way to improve military morale is to praise the troops in speeches while slashing veterans' benefits and combat pay. You have to believe that group sex and drug use are degenerate sins unless you someday run for governor of California as a Republican or you are the brother of the president. In order to be a good Republican today, you got to believe that if condoms are kept out of schools, damn it, adolescents will stop having sex. You have to believe that HMOs and insurance companies have the interests of the public at heart. You have to believe, if you want to be a good Republican today, that providing health care to all Iraqis is sound policy. Providing health care to all Americans is socialism. You have to believe that global warming and tobacco's linked to cancer are junk science, but creationism should be taught in our public schools. In order to be a good Republican today, you have to believe that Saddam Hussein was a good guy when Reagan armed him, a bad guy when Bush's daddy made war on him, a good guy when Cheney did business with him, and a bad guy when Bush needed a we-can't-find-bin-Laden diversion. In order to be a good Republican today, you have to believe that a president lying about an extramarital affair is an impeachable offense, and a president lying to enlist support for a war in which thousands die is a solid defense policy. Yes, indeed. You have to believe that government should limit itself to the powers named in the Constitution, which include banning gay marriages and censoring the Internet. In order to be a good Republican today, you have to believe that the public has a right to know about Hillary Clinton's cattle trades, but George Bush's driving or military record is none of your business. You have to support states' rights, which means Attorney General John Ashcroft can tell states what local voter initiatives they have a right to adopt. In order to be a good Republican today, you have to believe that what Bill Clinton did in the 1960s is of vital national interest, but what Bush did in the 1980s is irrelevant. And in order to be a good Republican today, you've got to believe that trade with Cuba is wrong because the country is communist. But trade with China and Vietnam is vital to a spirit of international harmony. And the list goes on and on. Steve is calling from Leedsville, South Carolina. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Happy chicken bones, turkey leg, white meat. Kill the Indians. Gays can't get married day.
Hey, back at you.
Hey, I was calling to talk. talk about Jimmy Carter's new book.
Oh, the novel he wrote, the fictional novel.
Yeah, the Hornet's Nest.
Yeah, I haven't read it. Haven't even read a synopsis of it. What do you know about it?
Well, I just went to a book signing about 3 days ago,
mm-hmm.
and got to meet Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
and he was a real nice fella. Got about 20 pages into the book, and I'm a slow reader,
mm-hmm.
but it's really interesting, and I'd like to plug it for Mr. Carter, to all your listeners, and tell everybody that they should go out and get that book, because it's real interesting. It's,
yeah, what's the title again, Steve?
It's called The Hornet's Nest.
The Hornet's Nest.
And it's a fictional book about the Revolution, the American Revolution.
Oh, that's right, and how it played out here in the South.
That's right.
Yeah, because that is a part of history that I think most Americans are not aware of. I know when I was coming up through elementary school and high school, all I knew, all I was taught, and I got a damn good education, all I was taught about the Revolutionary War was the period from, the 1760s to the War of 1812, but only as it related to New York, Philadelphia, Massachusetts. I'm totally ignorant. I knew a little bit about what went on here in Georgia, especially coastal Georgia, where the Brits sent troops down here to coastal Georgia to try to come up through the South and pinch off Washington, D.C. But there are huge gaps, and I think that's true for most Americans. Now, this book by Carter is a fictional rendition of that period of time, but it's my understanding that he does a pretty good job of educating people about what went on.
Yes, sir. He did his research. You can tell by the book if you read it.
Mm-hmm.
It's real educational, and it's excuse me, I'm a little bit nervous.
Well, usually when
I'm sure you can tell.
If I call a radio program, I'm filled with terror, so I don't blame you at all. And it only gets worse, Steve. I mean, the longer you're on the phone, the more you're going to get even nervouser and nervouser.
Yes, sir.
I'm just kidding.
But
Steve.
It might be a good lesson if I dare to say the R word, if anything was to happen again, it might teach us how to, some things we might can do to help our country evolve further.
Uh-huh. I think what you are trying to say is if we decide to go into open rebellion or revolution in this country, there might be some good ideas in Jimmy Carter's book.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't realize that it might also be considered possibly a how-to manual.
Yeah, it's very good timing for the book to come out.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
if I could say a couple of things, I was wondering if I could be your bureau chief for God's Country in South Carolina or Leesville, South Carolina.
Right now, where are you? Leesville?
Leesville, South Carolina.
Oh, Lee, L-E-E.
Yes, sir.
Leesville, South Carolina. Where is that in relation to the coast?
Well, I'm about 20 miles southwest of Columbia, the state capital.
Oh, okay. Well, you're not in the low country then. You're in
I grew up in the low country, but
you're right in the middle of the state, practically.
That's right.
All right. All right, you want to be Leesville Bureau Chief?
Yes, sir.
You got it.
All right. That's great.
All right. Now don't forget to send in your dues money.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'll get more comfortable calling the more I do it. So
there you go.
And one other thing.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to say hey to somebody if I could.
Go ahead.
I'd like to say hey to a good friend of mine, your Cambridge, UK Bureau Chief, Paul Kirkland.
Oh, really?
He's a good friend of mine, yes, sir.
You guys have met? You email? What?
Yes, sir. We email and we go on a lot of the websites
mm-hmm.
together. And I actually, me and my wife went to Germany and met him about a month ago.
Well, I'll be darned.
For Oktoberfest.
Well, I'll be darned.
Yes,
so the Cambridge, England Bureau Chief and you are acquainted and
right.
are friends. Well, that's
right. Now we're both Bureau Chiefs.
There you go. There you go. And you both have really interesting accents.
Well, thanks. A lot of those fellows tell me that I sound like Hank Hill off of King of the Hill.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm real glad you called in, Steve. Congratulations on being Leesville, South Carolina Bureau Chief, and I hope you're going to call again, pal.
Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Malloy.
Just call me Mike, all right?
All right, Mike.
All right, sir. Take care.
You too.
You have a nice evening. How about that? How many bureau chiefs have we picked up, have we initiated this week, Catherine?
437.
No, that's not true. It's only been a couple.
I can't keep them all straight. I want to get that Carter book.
The Jimmy Carter book?
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter wrote a more inspirational book years ago, back when I was on WSB here in Atlanta, so that would be the late 80s, and I interviewed him vis-a-vis that book. And I begged him. I said, could we please talk about what happened with your presidency, with the taking of the hostages in Iran, the failure of the rescue mission, the dirty tricks pulled on you by the Reagan crowd, the October surprise, all of it, the negotiating by the Reagan thugs to not release the hostages until you're out of office. And he just didn't want to do it. He just did not want to do it. And I don't know if he has written a memoir that really lays that stuff out. I if he hasn't, I don't think he ever will. Jimmy Carter is one of the very few evangelical Christians that I admire and respect, both for his religious beliefs as well as his humanitarianism.
Well, that's because he lives it.
Well, that's exactly
the
point.
He's not a hypocrite.
Exactly the point. Exactly the point. He still has in a Sunday school class down in at his church in Plains, Georgia. And somebody who lives it, as Jimmy Carter does, the faith, the teachings of Christ, Jimmy Carter would not be the type then to say, well, this is what Ronald Reagan and his crowd did to me. This is what they did to America. This is why they are criminals. This is why they are vicious people. Carter would be more inclined to let his God sort it out and pass judgment. But I do. I have deep respect for Jimmy Carter's brand of evangelical Christianity. And it is there. I know a lot of people listening to this program think I loathe and hate Christians. And I've tried to make it clear as I can, and I might as well just stop because it doesn't work, that it is not the teachings of Christ that I find vile. It is the way these American, year 2003 Christians, evangelical, Pentecostal, fundamentalists, whatever you want to call them, you know, the Falwell, Dobson, Robertson crowd, that are just disgusting. They are just filthy, awful. But then you have a person like Jimmy Carter. Got to respect the man. Well, you don't have to, but I mean you should. Bruce is calling from Laguna Beach, California. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Listened to you for a long time.
Well, I'm glad you finally
finally
called
get there. To talk to you.
There you go.
Wow. Well, you know, the subject which I guess I missed your show last night, so.
Oh, the Neil Bush thing?
The Neil Bush thing.
we talked about it last night. Isn't it amazing? You can go to Thailand if you're Neil Bush, and all of a sudden there's a knock on your door, and you open the door, and there are women who want to come in and boink you. And they're not prostitutes. No, they're probably sent to you as a gift by the business people you're there to hustle because your brother's president.
Yeah, well, he's definitely milked that one for all it's worth. But it's the thing that amazes me about this whole thing is how you know, again, this whole media bias that we have in this country. That story was reported by Reuters, not by Associated Press.
Right.
Or any main thing. It wasn't picked up by hardly any newspapers that I know of. It hasn't really been talked about, I don't think.
Imagine if it had been Roger Clinton back in 1998.
Oh, man.
Huh?
Yeah, it's perfect because it's sex and it's, you know, it's the kind of stuff that the media normally likes, you know, and, Michael Jackson. And
$2 million payment by this Chinese, the son, I believe it's the son of the former Chinese leader, Jiang Zemin, $2 million so that Neil Bush can be a consultant in a field of business that he has absolutely no knowledge.
Yeah, well, you remember when the big controversy with Gore accepting money from Asians and when he did a campaign trip in Los Angeles?
Oh, yeah.
They never let go of that.
No, of course not.
And it wasn't that big a deal. So he went to
Well, it wasn't. Yeah, the Buddhist temple thing was not a fundraiser to begin with. There were Republican politicians there as well as Democrats. But the Republicans who launched that campaign against Gore are just, you know, they're typical Republicans. They are liars, sneaks, cheats, defilers. They're vicious. Let me put you on hold, Bruce.
Sure.
And I'll come right back. We have to do a quick break here. We have one open line at 800-825-5937. Yeah, I know, like, so what, right?
It can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength myelin's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush.
I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Into the distance, ribbon of black, stretch to the point of no turning back.
Welcome back. About four before the hour, we're talking with Bruce in Laguna Beach, California. Bruce, thanks for holding on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It really blew my mind on that story, you know. About Neil Bush. And I heard something else that he had actually emailed his wife saying that he fired her.
Yeah, I do.
You hear that one? That wasn't in the Reuters story.
Yeah, but I do remember that. And now this is the family that, you know, big family values. I'll tell you, Barbara Bush, the old lady, has really put together a crew of thugs, political thugs, unrivaled. I cannot think of another political family that is so involved in theft and butchery and fraud and deceit and in the case of her son George, mass murder.
Yeah.
Taking the country to war under false pretenses, gutting banks, destroying economic systems. I mean, this family is just incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. No,
they are truly amazing. I just can't believe that the media hasn't picked up on this. This is the ultimate test that
they won't dare.
Immune. He's immune.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
This is the kind of story they would just jump on. Remember Billy is talking about Jimmy Carter, Billy Carter.
Oh, Billy Carter, and the Libyans?
Yeah, right. That's a very good example. Taiwanese are definitely, they're the Hong Kong Chinese. I mean, they know how to play the political cards.
Sure they do.
Yeah.
Well, you're absolutely right. If this were a Democrat, America's liberal media would be all over this, like white on rice. But Bush and Karl Rove and Andrew Card and Cheney and Rumsfeld and the rest of these people have made it very clear. You mess with us, you get an envelope full of anthrax. So just sit down and shut up and stay out of our way.
It's really getting bizarre.
It is. Bruce, I hope you call again.
Yeah, anyhow, that's really great. I'm so glad to finally talk to you, Mike. And
my pleasure.
Looking forward to doing it again.
My pleasure, sir.
Okay.
All right, take care. You have a nice Thanksgiving. All right. Quick break. We'll be back. If you're on hold, stay. Want to hear what you got to say. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The Thanksgiving travel rush got off to a trouble-free start Wednesday morning with clear skies across most of the country and short lines at most airport security checkpoints, despite what officials anticipated to be the busiest Thanksgiving holiday season since the 2001 terror attacks. 36 million people nationwide were expected to travel 50 miles or more from their homes over the holiday weekend, the highest number of travelers in 2 years, according to the AAA Travel Group. The Pentagon's plan for replacing the 130,000 American troops in Iraq with a fresh contingent early next year will shrink the force by 20%, but it will place more of the combat burden on the National Guard and Reserve. If carried out as planned, the switch-out will result in a more mobile force, perhaps better suited to the guerrilla-style war that is taking a sobering toll in U.S. deaths and injuries. The Army is calling on the National Guard and Reserve to contribute more next year, and not just in supporting roles. Three Guard infantry brigades will be there, of which at least two will see combat. Victims' relatives who pressed for an independent commission to investigate the September 11th attacks say the panel risks being undercut by the government's failure to cooperate with it. The Family Steering Committee, a group of victim advocates, marked the one-year anniversary of the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the United States by urging an extension of its May 27th deadline for submitting findings and recommendations. 12 people who lost spouses, children, siblings, and parents in the September 11th attacks formed the steering committee to monitor the work of the federal commission. The leaders of the 10-member commission, Republican Thomas Kane and Democrat Lee Hamilton, said last week that they still intend to complete work by May 27th, but they warned that further resistance from government agencies could threaten their ability to meet the deadline. More IE American Network news after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, Call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
A new turkey and gravy soda tastes, well, pretty much like you would imagine, but that's not stopping people from buying it. The liquid's ominous, murky brown color accurately warns consumers about the taste, a mix of sweet caramel and savory lard. The manufacturer of the so-called soda suggested a retail price of 99 cents, but a few entrepreneurs are selling theirs on eBay.com. By Tuesday, the bidding was up to $63 for a two-bottle set. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who'll work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
If insanity could be packaged, Monsanto would surely own the patent. This biotech giant is insanely manipulating the genetics of our world's food supply without long-term testing of how these frankenfoods will affect human health or our environment. Monsanto maniacally pushes these products without even informing consumers that the very DNA of the foodstuffs they're eating has been artificially altered in its corporate laboratories, literally using us as its guinea pigs. And, like a foam-at-the-mouth mad dog, Monsanto attacks anyone who dares get in the way of its genetic profiteering. Oakhurst Dairy in Portland, Maine has seen Monsanto's madness in action. It's a small milk processor that tries to do business the old-fashioned way, giving consumers what they want, or, in this case, not giving consumers what they don't want, which is milk laced with Monsanto's artificial growth hormone, which has been linked to causing everything from premature puberty in children to health problems in cows injected with it. Overwhelmingly, consumers say they don't want this stuff in their milk, so Oakhurst Dairy started paying dairy farmers a premium for milk that's certified to be free of it. Oakhurst proudly labels its jugs with this promise: no artificial growth hormones. Enter the raw nuttiness of Monsanto, which has now sued Oakhurst, claiming that its label deceives consumers by making them think that the pure milk is healthier than milk with Monsanto's hormones. In fact, all Oakhurst is doing is letting customers know what's not in their product, so customers can make up their own minds which milk to buy. As Oakhurst's president puts it, we're in the business of marketing milk, not Monsanto's drugs. Besides, he says, the world seems a little bit discombobulated when someone attempts to prohibit you from doing the right thing. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop Monsanto, call the Organic Consumers Association, 218-226-4164.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Got an email here from Nick in Warsaw, Ohio, about Neil Bush. And Nick says, nothing demonstrates more clearly how God favors the Bush family The Neal's trip to the Orient. Upon answering a knock on his hotel room door, he was inundated by hordes of whores who forced him to have unsolicited sex. Evildoers, on the other hand, in order to fulfill their ultimate sexual fantasies, must first blow themselves up, whereupon they are forced to spend eternity trying to have sex with 72 God-fearing virgins. Yeah, well, Nick, you're absolutely right. It, you know, the sickness of this family is just, and it's an infectious sickness. That's why 52% of Americans still think he's functioning as president, why 56% think the invasion of Iraq was a good thing, yada, yada, yada. It's infectious. It's like syphilis or gonorrhea or a bad case of the flu. It's very infectious. Now, how do you get syphilis and gonorrhea? You get it by having sex with an infected person. And I think that's what Bush is doing to us. He is raping this country, he and his entire damn family. And they are sick, sick people. Speaking of Bush, he was out in Nevada. Actually, I just blew the whole story, damn it. Oh, well. You don't pronounce it Nevada, is my point. It's pronounced Nevada. That's how the state is pronounced. Nevada. Reno, Nevada. Las Vegas, Nevada. That's how it's pronounced. But this was in the, where is this from? A newspaper out there. It says, Nevada memo to George Bush. When making a first presidential visit to a state, use the right pronunciation of this of its name. Bush was in Las Vegas yesterday, apparently, and repeatedly said Nevada. 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 State archivist in Nevada, said Guy Rocha, said mispronouncing the state's name sets people's teeth on edge. He's the president, and he ought to get it right. Nothing personal. State Senate Minority Leader Dina Titus, who's a Democrat, said the mispronunciation shows that Bush, who won the state in the 2000 election, barely, doesn't care much about the state. She said, quote, "They take such pains to orchestrate these trips and to make sure everything is politically correct. You would think the name of the state would be a simple piece of that." A Republican from Gardnerville, Nevada, who's in the state assembly, said Bush ought to pronounce Nevada correctly, but Bush's message was more important. Yeah, that's, you know, it's typically, it's the arrogance. It's, again, it's the Bush dyslexicon. Mark Crispin Miller, professor of media studies at where, Columbia or New York University, has this all down in his book. If you haven't read the Bush dyslexicon yet, oh, my God, you should. But once again, you know, this guy doesn't care a tinker's damn about the validity of the audience he's addressing, or the venue in which he is making the address, or what he's saying. It doesn't make any difference. Nevada, Nevada, who cares? That'd be like somebody coming to his state and saying, "Well, I'm glad to be here in Texas. I love Texas. No. As a matter of fact, I know all about the Alamo over there in, where is it, in San Antonio, Texas?" You know, and you just, if you're a Texan, you just would go over and just beat the guy senseless. It's pronounced Texas. Texas. But Bush can stand there and say Nevada. And think about the Gruppenführer, California. Oh, man. Oh, stop. Stop, Mike. Rob is calling from Midland, Michigan. Hey, Rob.
Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
If we're any better, I'd be arrested.
Well, that's good. You got a couple days. Heck, you have a four-day weekend.
That's why I'm doing so well.
I like your idea of going and checking the mall or the malls.
Yeah, yeah.
Checking the people out.
They're just a perverse pleasure. It's going to be cold here tomorrow. But on Friday, it's supposed to warm up again into the low 60s, upper 50s, and it's going to be sunny. And I'm going to sit in the back of the pickup truck with a big old hot coffee and maybe some cinnamon sprinkled into it, and just watch the folks come and go. That's fun to me. Now, I know I'm a simple-minded dude, but that to me is fun.
Well, it's a way of saving money, too.
Oh, that's true.
Speaking of, well, this is not really what I called about, but it kind of ties in with Alan Colmes. I don't really want to put down, I hate to put on a quote-unquote liberal, but he's part of the
problem. You're not. If you are going to say something catty about Alan Colmes, you are not putting down another liberal. He is not a liberal.
Well, that's exactly what I'm getting at.
Yeah, he's a clown. He's a doofus. He's a punching bag. He is to Sean Hannity what Ed McMahon was to Johnny Carson.
Exactly.
That's all.
The difference was entertainment.
Yeah.
This politics stuff should be a little bit more than entertainment.
Yeah, that's true.
And enlightening the masses maybe a little bit more. But
yeah.
They mentioned that Hannity makes his show is second to Limbaugh's, and that he makes up to $10,000 per speech.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Huh? Well, I was going to say that she could buy a lot of turkey dinners for people.
Well, yeah, but Sean lives a different kind of life. He lives the Republican. I have to repeat this over and over. I don't know why. It just gives me great satisfaction to do it, I guess. When Sean worked here in Atlanta, WGST, when I worked at WSB, Sean came over here from Huntsville, Alabama. And he was a very awkward young dude and decided that the way to succeed was to hook himself up with the Republican Party here in Georgia. Now, at the time, the Republican Party in Georgia meant Newt Gingrich. Well, as you know, Newt Gingrich was on a tear, and by 1994, Newt Gingrich was almost king of America when he led the Republican Revolution. But what Sean figured out very quickly was that all he had to do was what ultimately Monica did for Bill Clinton. If Sean would do that for Newt Gingrich, Sean's way would be greased, so to speak, and that's precisely what happened. And the rest is, as they say, history. Sean, if you ever listen to his program, I used to listen to him here in Atlanta just for the hell of it.
I can't stand him. I can't stand him. Limbaugh.
Right, there's nothing humorous, there's nothing creative, there's nothing original.
He's just an arrogant, pompous SOB is exactly
right.
What I think he is.
Exactly.
But other than that, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, right.
But one thing I wanted to mention about this, there's an article that I emailed to you, and I don't know if it's worthy of being put on your in front of your website or not, but it's from fair.org.
Yeah.
And it mentions, this is like most of us know what's already in this article, but it's nice to see it in one article about all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes and kind of, I guess what I'm trying to say is they mentioned one thing that I did not know here, and it says that the way those two guys came together for Fox News, and you may already know this, but maybe some of your listeners don't, Hannity was hired so far in advance of a decision about a co-host that Fox staffers referred to the show as Hannity and liberal to be determined.
Right, yeah, right.
And it's like, so he was an afterthought.
Yeah. Well, there were liberals that could have been hired who probably would have done exactly what Fox News did not want to have happen, and that would be to make Sean look like the moronic, uncreative person that he is. They had to hire somebody, and Alan Colmes had a radio program at some at a station in New York City, apparently. But they decided to hire somebody local to New York.
Yeah, you know what? It does say mild-mannered New York radio host. It does say that in the article, and I was going to mention that. Finally, after auditioning the prospective last host, Hannity expressed his preference for him.
Right.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Why would you want input from somebody that's going to be your counterpart?
Well, Sean is a coward. First and foremost, every right-wing talk show host is a coward where it concerns getting on the air face-to-face, one-on-one.
You would blow any of these idiots. You would blow them apart every time. I would love to see you one-on-one with any of them.
I've told the story a couple of times. I got several requests to go on Hannity and Colmes, and I just said no, and the producer kept leaning on me. And finally, I sent him an email, and I said, look, what part of hell no do you not understand? I said, you know, your boy is a thug, a punk, a liar, and a cheat. And I said, I'll never appear on his program. Never, ever, ever. The producer writes back and says, oh, okay, well, maybe next time.
Listen, Well, you know what? If it could be under terms that we're not going to be...
Nah, I don't like... See, I just basically...
I basically
don't like Sean Hannity, okay? I just don't like him.
I don't either.
And in order for me to... you know, there are some conservatives, believe it or not, that I can tolerate. I don't say I like them, but I can tolerate them. There's one here in Atlanta, Neil Bortz. When I worked at WSB, and Neil's still at WSB, we used to do gigs together, death penalty, yes or no. He'd take one position, I'd take the other. Gun control, yes or no. He'd take one position, I'd take another. And we used to travel around the circuit here in metro Atlanta. We would go to university. We'd get invited to do these things. And Neil... I think Neil's a jackass. He claims he's a libertarian. He's actually a neo-Nazi. But he's only got two themes. The government is taking all his money, and why don't Negroes get off their dead asses and go to work? Those are the only two themes that Neil Bortz has had in 30 years doing radio here in Atlanta.
Really original, huh?
Oh, yeah. but I don't, you know, he doesn't turn my stomach. I just don't listen to him. If I see him around town, which I haven't in probably 6 years, but if I see, of course, 3 of those years I was gone, but if I see him around town, it's, hey, Neil, hey, Mike, that's the end of it. If I see Hannity, I just want to go punch him out. Not that I would. You don't do that sort of thing. But, right. But you know, you get that feeling of here's somebody who is so responsible, like Limbaugh, for spreading lies, for polluting the airwaves with half-truths, untruths, distortions.
And they get away with it. Never anybody questioning any of this stuff. That's what drives me nuts.
And that's what Alan Combs will never do, is question Sean. Because without Sean, Alan would still be making $35,000 a year
it's
working.
It's his meal ticket.
Yeah, it's his meal ticket.
And I've listened
sure.
to Alan's show, and I listened like once, and I couldn't stand it because
it's awful.
He just is too wimpy, and he just lets people push him around.
That's why Sean wanted him. Thanks, Rob.
Hey, thanks for the time.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Did you hear this story? Another Democratic, another break-in, this time by Republicans into Democratic Party business. Apparently, Orrin Hatch set a couple of his operatives to break into the private emails of members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Democrats on that staff. He, of course, he denied it all. But the staffer has been found out, and a former staffer for Orrin Hatch also may have been involved. There's an investigation that's going to be conducted by the Senate Sergeant at Arms. But the way it's being reported by Wired.com, it says a top Senate Republican, that would be Hatch, expressed, quote, deep regret, end quote, yesterday in announcing that an internal investigation of computer records found that one of his staffers had improperly accessed Democratic documents. Now, this staffer, according to Hatch, is on administrative leave with pay, pending a separate probe by the Senate Sergeant at Arms. And I love that guy's name, the Sergeant at Arms. His name is Bill Pickle. Hatch, initially, when this showed up as an accusation, Hatch had ridiculed everything. You know, said, what, are you crazy? Now, the memos were snatched by a couple of Hatch's people. 14 staff memos back and forth among Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and those memos were critical of Bush's judicial nominees. You know, how thuggish they were, how contrary they were to constitutional principles in this country. So this punk, a couple of punks that worked for Orrin Hatch, on his direction, you know it came from him. They stole the memos and then gave them to Wall Street Journal and the Washington Times, two right-wing publications. And they were quoted in both those newspapers. Hatch had suggested that the memos had been turned over to the news media by what he called a conscience-stricken Democratic staffer. Can you believe that? That's the story Hatch put out. Well, you know, the Democrats are so evil in stopping these nominations, four out of 168, that one of their people had an attack of conscience and took these internal memos and gave them to the Washington Times, for Christ's sake, owned by the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, please. And the Wall Street Journal, whose editorial page still publishes editorials by the serial woman abuser, John Fund? Oh, yeah, Democratic staffer is going to give those two publications internal memos. Well, that's what Hatch wanted people to believe. But guess what? Two experienced federal prosecutors were put on the case. About 50 people were interviewed about this, and they finally found out who did it. One of Hatch's current boys and one of his former boys. Hatch said, "It is with deep regret, you know I'm a Mormon, it's with deep regret I must report today the interviews conducted have revealed that at least one current member of my staff had improperly accessed at least some of the documents referenced in the media reports." So here they go again. But this is just SOP, standard operating procedure for Democrats. Respect for other people's property. Respect for the process of advice and consent by the two political parties and the Senate where it concerns confirmation of judicial nominees by the President of the United States. Oh, how quaint. Advice and consent. Oh, how quaint. Submitting names for scrutiny. For permanent lifelong positions on the federal judiciary and then questioning those appointments. Oh, how quaint. Where did that come from? The 1800s?
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Ocean water is likely to become more acidic if we keep up our heavy use of fossil fuels. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Ocean water absorbs a lot of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and some people hope it will absorb some of the CO2 we generate by burning fossil fuels. But new research suggests too much carbon dioxide could make ocean water more acidic, and the effects on marine life are uncertain. Ken Caldera is a chemical oceanographer for the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. He says the process of CO2 dissolving into the water is completely natural, and the gas and water combine to form carbonic acid. Caldera says when we add more CO2 to the atmosphere, that leads to more carbonic acid in the oceans.
And so large amounts of CO2 are accumulating in the ocean, and it will take many thousands of years for that to be buffered.
Fossil fuels have been the backbone of industrialized society for two centuries. Caldera says if their heavy use continues for centuries into the future, the impacts could be dramatic. He says the oceans will become more acidic than they've been for millions of years. He says the biological impacts of that acidity need more research. For example, it might make it hard for clams and corals to get minerals they need to build their shells.
It's been generally viewed that the uptake of carbon dioxide by the ocean was a good thing, because it took CO2 out of the atmosphere and thereby reduced the Earth's load and the rate of climate change. But if the uptake of CO2 itself has adverse chemical effects on marine biota, then it's at best a mixed blessing.
Caldera's research was published in a recent issue of the journal Nature. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
She is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Banjila is like cool. Like
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Banjila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
You have indeed. 27 before the hour. Happy Thanksgiving. Kathy and I will be off tomorrow, Thanksgiving, and Friday. We'll be back Monday. God, I love four-day weekends. I just love them. No, we're not going anywhere. We're, well, into Atlanta, but that's not really going anywhere. To my son Chris's girlfriend's parents' house, right? Chris and Katie and her parents and some friends and relatives. And so happy inbred, broad-breasted, white, genetically engineered and hormone-injected turkey, angry relative and deadly influenza gathering, Native American smallpox-killing massacre, Puritan religious zealot Thanksgiving Eve truth-seekers. Charles is calling from Augusta, Georgia. Hey, Charles.
Is it me, Mike?
It is you, Charles.
Oh, God. I got to be in a record somewhere, Mike.
What happened?
I've been holding on for at least an hour.
Oh, no. I bet your ear's all sweaty, isn't it?
Huh? Slightly.
I'm sorry, Charles.
Hey, Mike, it's just jailhouse pecking order.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, Hannity has Combs,
yeah.
Bush has Blair.
That's true.
Same difference.
Jailhouse pecking order. Ow! Who does Limbaugh have? Oh, that's right, his housemaid. His housekeeper, whoever, his drug connection. Yeah, that's true. The Hannity and Combs thing to me is, you know, I talk about it way too much. Because, A, I just don't like Sean. But, B, I think poor old Alan Combs, you know, what a mouse. What an invisible man. Mr. Cellophane is what we should call him. Mr. Cellophane, because you can see right through him.
Well, Mike, you know, this economy is booming, you know. He's just a part of it.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, the economy's doing great. I read today they upped the figures from 6.5% to growth in the GDP to 8%, and everybody is just drooling. Of course, we still have 9 million people in this country without jobs, 3.5 million of whom since Bush took office. But it's great anyway. I'm just glad that I live in the age of Bush.
I had some fun this morning, Mike.
What'd you do?
I went into a chat room.
Yeah?
And it was a bunch of conservative Republicans in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a dozen with them.
You're kidding.
Hey, I mean,
I bet you scared him to death.
They couldn't deal with it because they were like, you're embarrassing yourself every time you open your mouth. I said, oh, I'm Bush-like, huh?
Playing the dozens. Oh, my God. You know, I got whipped one time by one of the kids in my class way back when I was in elementary school. I was one of the few little white boys who the little black boys would tolerate, and they taught me all kinds of stuff. They taught me to play the dozens, and I got pretty good at it. But I was up against one day this boy named Ray Wolford, who went on to be an Atlanta cop, and not to mention the fact that we went from elementary school through high school together. But Ray was real light skinned, and we were playing the dozens one day, and oh man, he was just making me look like mincemeat. And finally, and this is back when the term Negro was acceptable in this country, And he did something. He said something to me. And I said, well, at least my mama ain't black. Ow! Ow! And the next thing I know, I was down on the seat on the desk, and Ray had his knee hold my legs down, and he was just whipping my ass. And the teacher came in. And the teacher saw this, and of course, both of us had to go to the principal's office and get detention. And the principal, the white man, said, well, what caused this fight? And I said, well, we were just playing the dozens. And the white principal looks at me and says, the what? The dozens. You know, when you talk about each other's mama. made no sense. But that was so funny. Because back then, you're probably not old enough.
Oh, yes, Mike, I am.
Back in that time,
oh, yeah.
you didn't call somebody's mama black.
Oh, no.
Nuh-uh.
Uh-uh.
If you did that, then you broke the rule. You could say anything else. And I was on probation all the time anyway because I was white. Well, I still am. Well, predominantly white.
But when you call somebody's mama black, you really were playing the dozen.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I used to know some of the poetry. I can't say it on the air. But some of the poetry way back before rap was even thought of. And we had some nasty little poems. Oh, my God. Some about Joe Lewis. There's stuff about Joe Lewis. And there's stuff about, never mind. I don't want to go there. But anybody who's ever played the dozens, it was great fun and scary. Especially for a white boy, because you were into... unknown territory. Unknown territory indeed. So you got on a website with a bunch of white people and started playing the dozens?
And they didn't know how to react.
Well, I wouldn't think. Nobody does that anymore. Well, you know who still does it? In Aaron Magruder's cartoon what is it?
Boondocks.
The Boondocks, yeah. Every once in a while, the little kid in there will hit the bigger kid with a real heavy dozens line about his mama. And Aaron Magruder knows. So maybe kids, maybe black kids still do it. I don't know. But we sure did when we were kids. Anyway.
One thing before I go, Mike.
Sure.
You're speaking of the flu, I did have that, so I've been kind of out of the loop a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bad.
Mm-hmm. No, I got my shot. I don't play that way, Charles. I get my shot. And you should get your shot every day, or every year. You should.
Well, every day I do get a shot.
No, every year you should get your flu shot.
That shot. I get a shot of something every day, though.
I hear that, too. Yeah.
One of the two soldiers that died, I think it was Sunday in Iraq, with all the news coverage about them dragging them out of the vehicle.
And their throats cut, which everybody's denying now.
Right.
That was awful, awful stuff. Yeah.
But you know, one of those soldiers was from Thompson, Georgia.
Yes, I know. The Journal Constitution had, what did they have on their headline? The atrocity hits home or something like that. And it's just awful.
And he has two sons, one who works here in Augusta on the Sheriff's Department.
Oh, man.
And one who goes to school in Tuskegee.
Oh, man.
And I was just surprised that the Augusta Chronicle.
Yeah, that terrible, terrible, terrible right-wing paper.
You know, they had the nerve to put it on the very first page.
I'll be darned.
I really was surprised.
Yeah, that was a tragic, tragic situation. But it's gonna happen more and more. I don't care how Bush or Rumsfeld or Bremer, any of these people spin it. We are the invader. We are the occupier. These people will blow themselves up to get us out. They will defile our dead. They will attack us until we are gone. And, Charles, if you and I had an invader in this country, you and I would pick up weapons and do the same damn thing.
Absolutely.
Charles, thanks for checking in, pal.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
All right, sir. You too. You too. Playing the dozens. Man. All right, too stupid to chew a pretzel. We have some sound here for you of too stupid to chew a pretzel, Bush. This is when this little thing, I don't get this. This little thing that all presidents do, this pardon the turkey thing. When did that start, Kathy? I'd like to smack somebody every time I see that. I mean, it is so stupid. They have this photo op and they have a big old fat, ugly looking turkey out there. And then it's like, oh, we're not going to kill this one. We're not going to chop this one's head off. I used to watch my Italian immigrant grandfather cut the heads off of chickens and turkeys just like there was no tomorrow. So I've been there, done that. Watch these animals flap around headless. And then you got two great big old tubs of hot scalding water. And your grandma throws the carcasses in there. And then you got to sit there and pick those nasty-ass feathers out. Nuh-uh. I don't care for it. So I don't know when this started with saving the turkey. But Bush was at it today. Now, you listen to him. He starts out, today marks, something. I guess he temporarily forgot what speech he was supposed to give, or else the little button in his ear didn't go off. I'm surprised he didn't start getting all poetic about the economic recovery that we're all experiencing now. But he did pardon the turkey.
Today marks a... and continues a long White House tradition. We're honoring the beginning of a holiday season.
Yeah.
It speaks well for America that one of our most important holidays is set aside for sharing and appreciating our blessings.
That would be Halloween, right?
Our nation was founded by people of great accomplishment,
mm-hmm.
great courage,
mm-hmm.
and great humility.
Mm-hmm.
They believed not only in themselves, but also in the goodness of God's wisdom and God's plan for every life.
Yeah, indeed they did. Our nation was founded by people of great accomplishment, great courage, and great humility. Well, I don't know who he's talking about, but if you go back to the Puritans and you have somebody like Miles Standish, who was a psychotic killer, and the Puritans, who were religious zealots, who were so psychopathic, they were chased out of England, for God's sake, and who cheered when... those redskins, those braves, those Native Americans died of smallpox. Yay, they're all dead. Thank you, God. What do you say here? They believed in the goodness of God's plan for every life. Yeah, like God planned slavery and genocide. No, I don't think so, George. I'm sorry. See, this is where your God, to me, is a vomitous, sick freak. For you to say that God planned for every life, what, slavery for the blacks and genocide for the Redskins? I mean, damn you, George Bush. Damn you. It's not what you were taught in elementary school, Mr. Bush. It's what was.
Well, in Bush's defense, that's probably the last history class he had.
Yeah, what, in third grade? Let's do one more here. Why we're thankful, he's going to tell us. Tell you what, I'd be real thankful a year from now if we vote his illegal butt out of Al Gore's house.
Americans are, at our best, are a reverent and a grateful people.
Uh-huh.
Even in times of hardship. We see all around us gifts to be thankful for. Our families. And friends, the beautiful land we call home, and the freedom granted to us all. This year, as in other times in our history, we can be especially grateful for the courage and faithfulness of those who defend us.
Yeah, defend us? Who is defending us, George? Where's the attack? All right, one more. Bush is thankful for the men and women in uniform who've died to help his corporate buddies rake in the money and the oil in Iraq. I wonder if he'll visit any funerals over the holidays. Maybe hug a recent widow for a Christmas photo op? What do you think?
Every man and woman who wears our country's uniform is a volunteer facing hardships and sometimes peril. Because they believe in this country and our cause.
No, not true.
We're thinking of them and their families.
Oh, thank you, George.
We think of the military families that have suffered loss.
Thanks to you.
We can be grateful to live in a country that has produced such good and brave people who stand between us and the dangers of the world.
No, George, the greatest danger in the world is you. And the military is not going to stand between you and American citizens, because they're disciplined. Ah. You heard the turkey in the background?
Which one?
Which one? You know, the one going boop, boop, boop. Richard is calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Good, thanks. Hey, I listened to you on White Rose Society today, and I thought it was really cool to hear you talk about the Beats because they were a big influence on me. I liked them a lot. And I don't know if you've read him. You mentioned almost everybody else. Did you ever read any Gary Snyder?
Oh, yeah. Gary Snyder, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like him a lot, too. And there's a really great documentary on all those guys called The Source that if you haven't seen, you should check it out.
Okay, Gary Snyder was going to be at that thing in 82, except he was dead.
Was he that dead already?
Yeah, in 82. I believe either he was going to be and was ill or he was dead. That conference I went to in 82, if I look at the list of the people, the important people who were there, the Beat poets, and it was like a gathering of Old Testament prophets who got together 25 years after they unleashed Beat poetry and literature on this country to see what they had wrought. But so many of them are gone. And there were a lot of people there who were not Beats. Timothy Leary, I don't think you'd consider him a Beat. What's his name? Abby Hoffman, Paul Krasner. These were not necessarily, you know, Beats. These were people from shared the attitudes, perhaps. But so many of those people are dead and gone now. It's just, but yeah, the Beat literature and poetry is so worth the read.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that those guys had a big influence on the hippie movement, and I think that's the crossover right there. The guys you were talking about were kind of the
they were the uncle or the grandfather to the hippie movement, and there were very few women involved in the Beat movement. I'm trying to think. There were a couple of Beat women poets who were there, but they were very, very, very few. Anne Waldman was one.
Right. Yeah, I've got her biography of Kerouac.
Yeah, but most of them, most of the Beats were men. Yeah.
Well, what do you think? You're a little older than I am. How would you compare like youth culture from that time and from the 60s to what's going on today? I mean, I know there was bubblegum crap back then with the Monkees and all that, but it couldn't have been as bad as it is today with the Britney Spears and all the wannabe gangster stuff and everything else that really just encourages kids to be stupid and
apathetic. Well, let me think about it. I'll put you on hold. We get over this break, and I'll come back and try to answer. Quick break here, and we'll be back.
It's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a.
Need more tissues.
Sleep like a.
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to colacecapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, that comic book show.
Hi, Steve. I'm Schroeder. Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude. I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off!
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the legal huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court, Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You can come up and pet the turkey if you want to.
Five before the hour, four and a half before the hour. Talking with Richard in Raleigh, North Carolina. The difference, I think, in the Ute, as was referred to, the kids were referred to in a movie, in the 50s and 60s, as opposed to now, I think kids today are smarter. I think they are more cynical. And the fact that they're more cynical, I think, is what tamps down the enthusiasm to question and challenge power. In the 50s and 60s, kids were not cynical. They were idealistic, and they had reason to be idealistic. The 50s were a deadening decade, but with the assassination of the 50s really didn't end until John Kennedy was assassinated. But we had the Korean War in the 50s, which most of us were too young to really know what the hell it meant. But I think kids today are smarter. They are more adept or adroit at getting the things they want, whether that is information or access to whatever it is they're looking for. But the thing that I find that is missing with young people today is for the most part, not everybody, is this willingness, insistence on challenging the status quo. And that's about it.
Yeah, that's the thing I don't understand, because I have younger friends who are hippies and who are punks or goths, and even in those subcultures, you don't find a lot of even interest in politics. I mean, a lot of them still get wrapped up in just club culture or celebrity gossip and the same kind of crap that
Yeah, they're kind of posers. It's kind of a poser culture. You know, I think I'll be a rapper this week. I think I'll be a goth next week. I think I'll be a hippie the week after that. You know, you really don't become, you don't, in my opinion, you don't adopt those lifestyles or attitudes. They kind of envelop you. If you're an artist or you're into a gothic thing, it starts from the inside and works its way out, not the other way. It's not what clothes you wear. It's what kind of art you're producing, what kind of political stance you're taking. Hey, there's the music. Richard, I know that wasn't a very strong answer, but thank you. We got a boogie. Thank you, sir. I hope you call again.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, back at you. To everybody, as a matter of fact, thank you for these happy Thanksgiving wishes. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Charlotte Jones, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Day. Robin Bittman announces for us. Mark Marshall of Maximum Interactive is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. I'll be back Monday.